WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Man, oh man, happy Monday. It is April 6th, otherwise known as, that's right, baseball opening day. Can you believe that? That's right, the Detroit Tigers, they will be starting their season in about 8 minutes. Man, time flies when you're having fun. I probably sound a little bit under the weather right now, a little bit, folks, because, yeah, I am still trying to battle this cold that I actually caught before we headed out to Indy to cover the Michigan State men's basketball run in the Final Four. But we're going to power through this hour, take your calls, engage in a ton of discussion. And on today's show, you'll get to hear from Tom Izzo on his thoughts right after, of course, that loss to Duke. We'll dive into what the future looks like for Tom Izzo's team. We'll give you a preview of Wisconsin and Duke. Talk about Tigers opening day, bring your weekend winners, and so much more. But hey, let's start this show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this April 6th. Of course, you all know this. Michigan State's impressive run, came to an end with an 81-61 loss to Duke on Saturday in Indianapolis. The Duke Blue Devils held the Spartans to 40% shooting on the other end of the court. Duke hit 27-37 at the charity stripe, while MSU only attempted 16 from the line. Now, Justice Winslow led the way with 19 points and 9 rebounds. Jahil Okafor had a big day with 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Denzel Valentine had 22 points, 11 rebounds on 7 of 11 from the line. Of course, we'll have a lot of coverage and discussion on the Spartans' outing against Duke in the Final Four coming up in just a sec. Don't want to miss that. All right, after a shocking game. I mean, Wisconsin beating undefeated at the time Kentucky. Wisconsin will now meet the Blue Devils for all of the marbles tonight at 9:18 p.m. on CBS. The Badgers are led by AP Player of the Year and Naismith winner Frank Kaminsky, while the Blue Devils are led by a dynamic group of freshmen with Jahil Okafor, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones, Quinn Cook. I mean, we could go on and on and on. All right. Following Michigan State's loss to Duke in the Final Four, it was revealed that MSU junior forward Matt Costello might undergo off-season knee surgery. Now, earlier this year, Izzo said Costello has been dealing with tendonitis, but in his recent comments, he did not specify the problem. All right, what about a thrilling game out in Ann Arbor, huh? Spring game, I should say. The Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan got underway on Saturday as Team Blue defeated Team Maize 7-0. In the Wolverine spring game. Now, junior quarterback Shane Morris, who threw the only touchdown on the day, is the leader of the QB battle coming out of the game, according to Harbaugh. All right, Reggie Jackson scored a game-high 29 points, including 15 in the fourth quarter in the game-winning layup to lead the Detroit Pistons in a win over the Miami Heat on Saturday. Andre Drummond had 11 points and 17 rebounds, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Anthony Tolliver finished in double figures with 19 and 15, respectively. All right, in a battle for the final playoff spot, the Detroit Red Wings, they split over the weekend with a win against the Minnesota Wild and a loss to the Washington Capitals. Now, the Wings are currently tied with two other teams with 95 points. Now, if the season ended today, they will receive the eighth seed and play the number one seed New York Rangers in round one. The Ottawa Senators are only 2 points in back of the D for the final spot in the playoffs. And of course, last but certainly not least, Detroit Tigers start the season today against the Minnesota Twins with one major change and a lot of questions surrounding the team as they attempt to capture their fifth straight Central Division title. Now, for the first time since 2007, Justin Verlander won't be Detroit's opening day starter. Instead, he begins the season on the disabled list for the first time in his career because of a tricep strain. Now, David Price will be on the mound for the Tigers, while Phil Hughes will get the nod for the Twins. We'll keep you updated throughout the hour as that game proceeds. All right, Major League Baseball's average ticket price rose 3.3% this year to about $28.94, which is the steepest increase in 6 years. Now, Team Marketing Report said in its annual survey on Monday that the average is up 4.4% since 2013 and after remaining flat in 2012. Kansas City Royals had the largest increase for the second straight year with a 20.3% rise to about $29.76 for an average ticket. Following consecutive winning seasons, the Royals have increased their average by 50%. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave me a comment there or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Well, without further ado, let's start the show. Good things must unfortunately come to an end. For the Michigan State Spartans, an opportunity to possibly compete for a national title was ended at the hands of the Duke Blue Devils. They topped the Spartans in the national semifinals. And Coach K seems to have Tom Izzo's number, address, zip code, you name it, improving his record to now 9-1 against Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans. And an opportunity clearly relinquished to possibly rewrite history for the Spartans.
We did not play good. I mean, you know, and I'm going to give them a lot of credit, but I'm not giving them all. We got to get that straight right now. I'm not giving them all. I mean, so I got to do a better job, you know. There's been different players here through that period of time, and same coach.
There's no time to be sad. I mean, I'm appreciative of all the guys, everything they've done for me, me and BJ. So just taking it in. It sucks, but I'm proud of this group.
Nobody expected us to get here. We got here, and, you know, to get ready to work for next year. And at the same time, you know, keep our heads up. And, you know, we didn't get the win today, but. But we worked our butt off to get here.
You know, I just said I'm gonna get you back here next year, coach. And, like I said last year, when we lost in the Sweet 16, that I was gonna get him back to the Sweet 16 at least. We're getting back to the Final Four next year, and hopefully next year it'll be a better ending.
It's got a
1 sec.
We all want to win a national championship. That's an open line. I mean, I know that's a big goal, but I got you, Keno.
These are tears of joy and tears of pain. You know, I hate to lose, but, you know, I had a fun run with these guys, man. They gave me opportunity to play in the Final Four as a freshman.
Brandon, do you feel like you proved a lot of people wrong this season?
Yes, we did. I mean, we had a lot of people that doubted us, and, you know, like I said that, you know, we weren't going to make the tournament, and we weren't a good team, and, you know, just losing to Texas Southern, here we are, you know, in the Final Four.
Duke, the kryptonite to Tom Izzo Superman. But most will admit that this was a season of improbability to begin with. Get this, a 7-seeded Michigan State men's basketball program with 11 losses entering the NCAA tourney, coming all the way here to Indy for the Final Four. But hey, there are no moral victories with this program that is laden with competitiveness. Success, nonetheless, is what this year will be remembered for. Oh, boy, yes. That was from a report out in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium at the Final Four. The Spartans, of course, falling to the Duke Blue Devils, coming just short of possibly competing for a national championship. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, later on in the hour, we'll be talking about Tigers opening day. Folks, the first pitch has officially been thrown and the Tigers season has started. So we'll keep you updated throughout the hour on the Tigers and how they are doing against the Minnesota Twins. But of course, we want to start by talking about Michigan State in the Final Four. Again, folks, forgive me. I'm a little bit under the weather, been under the weather since dating back to when we officially took off to Indy to cover the Spartans, trying to battle through this cold of mine here. I probably sound like I have a frog stuck in the middle of my throat right now. But I'll be all right, folks. I'll power through it. But what a year. Let's start by saying that. I want to give a hats off to Tom Izzo and this Michigan State men's basketball team because, again, you know, I dubbed this year as and this team as the Improbables because no one would have fathomed, you know, looking at how this year went for this squad, that they would have even graced a Final Four. But they did. They proved a lot of people wrong, shocked a lot of people, and you better believe when Luther Vandross's One Shining Moment song is played after the outcome of tonight's national championship game, you're going to see a few great shots, glory shots from the Spartans' year in the NCAA tournament because they really had a lot of fight and proved a lot of people wrong, including myself, to be honest with you. Now, looking at this game, the Spartans going against the Duke Blue Devils, I got to be honest with you, folks. I mean, there was a clear talent differential that became pretty imminent after Michigan State went on that incredible run, that 14-6 run to start the game. Duke is clearly, and was clearly, I should say, the more talented team when really looking at that game. I mean, first off, my goodness, who I think will be the numero uno pick in the upcoming NBA draft, Jahlil Okafor is a man. And of course, Jahlil is a player that Tom Izzo actually recruited when he was in high school. But man, is that kid talented. And looking at, you know, Jahlil's production in that first half, I mean, I really thought that Jahlil, I mean, and Coach K's team in general should have fed him the ball a little bit more because when he had the ball down low, magic happened. And that's exactly how Duke, you know, when Duke was down 14-6, that's how they got back into the game, by feeding the beast down low. But, man, I mean, when you look at the talent differential across the board for Duke, though, I mean, you talk about Okafor and Tyre Ulis. Justice Winslow is another guy that stands out. Quinn Cook was also solid for this team. Duke was clearly the more talented team, folks, and it showed. It certainly showed. Now, going back to MSU's start of the game, I mean, this was really, you know, for this team, they fed off of emotion. They fed off of that underdog mentality, and you really saw that. I mean, a lot of emotional energy to start that game for Michigan State. I mean, they come out, they hit five of their first seven shots. Denzel Valentine, I mean, my goodness, how big was he to start that game, right? I mean, he hit, you know, three triples during that time. Travis Trice also hits a triple. And, you know, you're just like, oh, my goodness, all right, MSU is rolling. Let's see if they can keep this thing up. But specifically with Valentine, even though the man had, what, 22 points, I mean, he kind of just went ghost recon on us, you know? I mean, he started the game so great. And then other than that start, I mean, he didn't score again in that first half till about 57 seconds left to go in the first half, folks. So Denzel's production just kind of went poof out of nowhere. So really, if you look at it, I mean, that was really a hollow, I should say, 22 points. Kind of a really solid 22 for Denzel. You know, pretty efficient, though, when you look at the numbers, though, at the end of the day. But at the same time, I said there were three keys to this game. If Michigan State wanted to pull out this game, there were three components that must had to happen throughout that entire game. One, they had to hit the three-pointer, which, again, looked to be in their favor to start that game. But at the end of the day, looking at the numbers, Michigan State shot a dismal 7 of 20 from the three-point line. Another thing I said they had to do was Michigan State had to control the boards. They had to out-rebound Duke, which is a tall order when you're going against guys like Justice Winslow and Jahlil Okafor. Duke actually had a 3-point rebounding margin, I should say, 36-33 when you really compare the numbers here. And also, the last thing, if they wanted to win this game, they had to get penetration, folks. Penetration leads to good things, and it opens up the offense and provides opportunities at the free throw line. Michigan State did not make that happen. Again, as I said in our Quick Hit Headliners, there was a huge disparity when you look at the production from the charity stripe. A 37-16. Again, a 37-16 free throw differential. Folks, they got beat in all three of those components to Duke, which led to the 20-point win at the end of the day. And then, you know, still, with Michigan State, they definitely cut into the lead to end that first half. And again, you really want to pay attention to how they would start the second half. Would that energy still be there? Will it still be imminent? And again, Duke just kind of just put their... And I always say this, around this time of the year, great teams know how to step on your throat and close out the game. They have that mentality like, all right, you're not coming back in this game. We got you by the juggernaut, and it's going to be a wrap now. And that's exactly what Duke did to start the second half. I mean, they came out and scored on its first three possessions, and that really just kind of let all of the air out of the balloon. And then another thing, I've always praised Michigan State. You know, this incredible run to the Final Four has a lot to do with how deep Tom Izzo's team has been throughout each and every game, each and every round of the NCAA tournament. You started to see production from guys that you did not normally see production from throughout the regular season. But again, you talk about being Ghost Recon, the entire bench where it was like Casper, folks. You know, just 2 points from Matt Costello in the first half. Bryn Forbes, a guy who had really been hot all tourney. I mean, he was pretty much money from that corner 3-point spot. His jump shot has been unbelievable in the tourney up until this point. He finished with a big fat donut, folks. No points for Bryn Forbes. Wow, just shocking, shocking. So I mean, when you look at the proof is in the pudding, folks. Michigan State didn't do the things to stay in the game, let alone win it. And it was really no surprise that Duke pulled this one out. I want to invite now a guy who was with me in Indianapolis, Indiana, throughout the entire weekend. My man, 100 grand, the man behind the glass, Alex Sharg, engineer of Current Sports. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, what a change of scenery to be back here now. But yeah, 100 grand it was for us this weekend, man. What an experience to see. Just the atmosphere, the aura. It was like you saw the president riding around town with all the cops following the teams and the hoopla that surrounded the whole event in Indianapolis, Indiana. And hey, I'll give a little credit to Indianapolis. They did a great job putting on the event. There's a lot to that weekend. And overall, just a great weekend. Although it was a loss for the Spartans, even for those fans down there, I think everyone can agree it was a great weekend.
I mean, the atmosphere down in Indy, folks. I mean, if you didn't have, you know, the opportunity to head down to Indy for the Final Four and experience that down there, I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. As you just said, Alex, I mean, we were walking around. I mean, and it's like shoulder to shoulder downtown in Indy. I mean, and they had a lot of branding, a lot of Final Four branding everywhere throughout all of downtown. Banners, different murals. The hotel we stayed at, actually downtown, right down the street from that, there was like this little quarter area where they had a big, huge statue of the national championship trophy. Next to that, they had a big Final Four lettering that was about, I don't know, like, you know, like 30, 40 feet high. And people were standing there taking pictures next to it. That was gorgeous as well. And then right below those two figures were four Indy cars that represented each team in the Final Four. Unbelievable, unbelievable down there. I mean, it was a fantastic time. And then you walked on our walk to the stadium. You had music playing. You had people chanting left and right. Bars are open. I mean, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. And the weather was gorgeous all weekend as well. I mean, it was a fantastic time down in Indy. So then if you look at the actual media hotel, the JW Marriott down there, I've never seen anything like this. They actually had the entire bracket plastered onto the outside glass of that hotel. And it wasn't just a generic bracket, folks. It was a bracket that was completely updated. It had the winners and losers of each game. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was fantastic. So hats off to the NCAA. I mean, that was my Final Four. The only Final Four I've ever been to. And if every Final Four is like that, hats off to the NCAA. They know how to put on a great show. But going back to the game now, Alex, I mean, what were your takeaways from the X's and O's point of view for this game and the Spartans and Duke?
Yeah, there was a lot. The big point for me, and this is kind of outside the X's and O's, is after that 14-6 lead, like you said, and after that first half, when it got to that second half, the Spartans, as they did against Louisville and as they did against Virginia and as they did against Oklahoma, they were looking for that second half and that start of the second half, that start of kind of energy. And they were looking for that quick, fast break start, pushing up the floor, quick layups, some dunks. And they got a few. They had a Brandon Dawson alley-oop. They had some quick layups down the paint. But overall, there were some balls that just didn't fall their way. They let up some tough shots on defense, on the defensive side of the ball, in those first 5 minutes. And overall, after those first 5 minutes in the second half, the team started to kind of let up. And they kind of stopped, kind of, the hope dimmered. And their faith did waver. And I think overall, you saw players not boxing out. There was one play that really stuck with me in particular, Al, if you remember. And it was when Marvin Clark kind of went out to the corner of the three-point line and he put his hand up. I was number three from Duke. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he shoots the ball. Marvin Clark puts a hand up. He kind of watches the ball. Since he jumped in the air, he's sitting now kind of a little bit out of bounds in the corner of that three-point arc. And number three from Duke just kind of drives down into the lane, gets his own rebound that hits the front rim and dunks. You can't let that happen in basketball. I don't care if it's a practice or if it's exhibition. That is one-on-one basketball, and that's, you know, I hate to say, but that's kind of a freshman mistake. And not to kind of hit on Clark here, but it just looked like between that and some of the rebounding and the lack of defensive communication down the stretch, it looked like this team kind of let Duke run with the Thunder, roll the tide there, and they just kind of had control of that game. So outside of the X's and O's, that's what really went down for me. And inside the X's and O's, I think for Michigan State, what it really came down to was just the four shots. You saw their shooting percentage. It was not what it was to start the game. You know, they started real hot, 4-for-4. But, outside the X's and O's, they didn't end the game well. So the big two areas were just kind of lackluster plays in the second half. And I guess the four shots, that for me was what really cost this team. And when it comes to shooting, that's what they needed to do to beat a team like Duke.
Yeah, and you know, again, you know, you go back to that play. I think that was one of the highlights of that game. Again, who you're referring to is Grayson Allen. He misses the three-point shot.
That's right.
He rebounds it. He goes up, and actually, he got chewed out by Coach K for celebrating a little too much and not getting back on defense after that miraculous play. But again, I mean, you just saw, you know, because Michigan State, ideally throughout this tourney, again, you touched on it, Alex. They have been a second half team. When they were down to Louisville by 8 points in that first half, they came out and they started that engine very early, and it had a trickle-down effect through the rest of the game. Duke, again, great teams don't let you do that, though. Duke, they had the momentum in their favor throughout much of that game, and they did not let Michigan State stop on the gas and shift that momentum in the second half. You got to give Coach K a lot of credit. And again, Duke came out and scored on their first three possessions. I just thought after those three possessions, Michigan State, I mean, you could just see on their faces, okay, we're in a lot of trouble right now, and you saw what happened after that. But again, when you look at it, I mean, this isn't a surprise. When you look at the outside world of college basketball, not just Spartan fans here in the area who are certainly hopeful that possibly the trend could be reversed and Tom Izzo would get that second W over Coach K and Duke. But again, Duke is a very, very good team, folks. They are incredibly talented. Tom Izzo now is just 1-9 against Coach K. 1-9 against his team now. And I want to actually play a bite. This was Tom Izzo right outside of the locker room after he finished with his media duties up at the podium. We, along with a facet of other media members, got a chance to steal a bit of Tom Izzo's time to talk about what exactly happened in that game. But he first talks about just the overall culture of this Michigan State men's basketball program.
There's not many, you know. There's only a few that have had the same coach or the same tree of coaches, but I, And more than anything, I want to thank all those guys. They all came over and spoke last night. They were just, it was an incredible scene from Irvin to Steve Smith, Derek Snow to Morris Peterson. I mean, it was, you know, Matt Stegging, Chris Hill flew in from France. I mean, it was, makes me proud. It makes me feel good. I just wish we would have played better so that they would have felt a little better about us, because they didn't get to see us when we really played well a lot of those games. But they'll trust me when I tell them that we did.
Tom, I missed the beginning. Just
they said that a lot about you, Fred.
Yeah. My wife. The game's disappointing, but does the ride make this moment a little easier to take?
Well, it will. It will. It won't right now, but it really will. I mean, the ride was incredible. I mean, this place, to me, was utopia. I mean, they can move them all around. They can talk about warmer weather. There's no greater place for a Final Four. To have families here and walk in the streets and everybody's so close and bumping into people. If I only get to go to a Final Four every so often, I hope it's constantly here, because I love this place and I love it.
So, Tom, with that being said, you feel like you've proved a lot of people wrong this year?
No, I don't think so. The reason I say that, I don't think our program's at the level to prove people wrong. I mean, I was honest, I think, with everybody in here. I told you early, I think we could be a pretty good team. And if things go right, maybe a real good team. Without bragging, we became a fantastic team, you know, those last 15 games. And, I mean, I can say it now, I guess, more way over my expectations of where I thought we could get, especially the way it went with all the problems and the injuries. And so, in general, I'm going to love this year when I'm done. I just, you know, what happens is, Judd Heathcote said something to me one time when the famous clock game. Remember the clock game? 86 Kansas. Yeah. And we played so well. And we outplayed him in every way, and we lost the game, and he was in the locker room and he was struggling to come up with one good thing to say, and I was sitting there as a GA saying, God, why is he like that? And he said something at the end of it that resonated with me for my whole career. You get certain opportunities to get so far, and you may never get back there. And that drives you, but you can be good. You can be real good. You can be great. I mean, last year we were great. We were good enough to win it all. We didn't even get there. And so I think that's why it's harder to live with for a while until it settles down, and then you appreciate just how much you got out of guys that gave you their all. I mean, Travis, he gave me his all. And you know, believe it or not, Brandon Dawson, the next cool thing for me with him will be graduation and then make sure he gets somewhere to play basketball. But kid's going to graduate. He's done everything right. There needs to be more stories like this in basketball.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Again, that's Tom Izzo. He took some time right after the game. After he went and addressed the media on the presser in the official press conference room. He took some time right outside of the Michigan State locker room. And we stole it was pretty long chat with Tom, actually. About, I want to say, like 20 or 25 minutes outside. So, but, you know, Tom, you know, and I think he hit it right on the head. The thing that makes the tourney so interesting compared to any other sport in my eyes is because of that one and done feel. I mean, you have an incredible field of, you know, 60 plus teams who, you know, you have to rally. You have to click at just the right moment and rattle off a bunch of wins in order to even just play or grace a Final Four or a national championship game. So you sometimes see teams that are loaded with a lot of talent that just may have an off day here and there that will cost you an entire year. And that's why I think it's so remarkable, because when you look at this team, a team that when you compare it to the upper echelons of the college basketball world, isn't the most talented. Let's be honest here, folks. And to see this team come together and rally at the right time, and it was truly remarkable to see. And you heard throughout, you know, my report at the very beginning of the show, you saw that Michigan State really wanted this. You know, in particular, I saw three guys, you know, Bryn Forbes, you know, he definitely shed some tears. Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr., you know, he had some red eyes as well. And also Matt Costello, who you heard break down right in the middle of his interview. And we, you know, we asked Costello, I mean, where is this emotion come from? I mean, what exactly is he feeling and why? And he talked about how, you know, this being the last time that he'll be able to play with guys like Brandon Dawson, Keenan Wetzel, who, if you listen to that bite, Keenan actually came over and patted Matt on the shoulder before he went, you know, throughout the locker room. And also, of course, Travis Trice. I mean, Matt having just, you know, just really sad that this was going to be his last time playing with them and that they did not get a chance to play in a national title. So let's hit our first break here. When we come back, we will talk about the future of the MSU men's basketball team. What does the future look like for this squad? We'll also break down Wisconsin and Duke and give you our predictions on that game tonight. And also, hey, it's Tigers opening day. Can you believe that, folks? And actually, it's 1-0 Tigers leading the Minnesota Twins in the bottom of the second inning. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV is back and in full effect this week. On Wednesday night, I've got the opportunity to sit down with another fantastic coach here in the area of Mid-Michigan, whose program had one fantastic year, seemed to hit another notch really around February, if you will, right after December, I should say. That's when it really started to click. I'm talking about, of course, Tom Anastas. The MSU hockey team. I'll be sitting with Tom on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is sign up online for free at WKAR.org. Hopefully I'll be healthier than I am right now by the time Wednesday hits. I'm trying to drown myself with a lot of medicine, a lot of tea. Just trying to get well, folks. I mean, Indy beat me up, I tell you, over the weekend. But I am feeling better than what I did feel when we first took off for Indy. But again, folks, that Current Sports TV was MSU head hockey coach Tom Anastas this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Again, folks, Tigers opening day is taking place as we speak. And again, the Tigers have a 1-0 lead over the Minnesota Twins in the bottom of the second. Again, we'll keep you posted throughout all the way up until end time for today's Current Sports Radio show at 2 p.m. Again, folks, we're taking your calls 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I briefly want to talk about, before we transition and give you our predictions on tonight's national championship men's basketball game, I briefly want to talk about the future for this Michigan State men's basketball squad. Because, you know, I've been hearing, you know, and reading different things from local writers around the area, even national writers, national college basketball analysts here and there. And it's really interesting to see their thoughts and opinions on the MSU men's basketball program in comparison to the other, I guess you can say, top dogs in the nation. Again, teams like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, those type of programs that have that aura and really are juggernauts just about every single year. You know, for Michigan State, it's a really interesting program because if you look at the way Tom Izzo has built this program, again, you guys know this. Tom Izzo does not get on a regular basis the, you know, five-star recruit that everyone's trying to get. You know, again, you saw a guy, you know, in Jahlil Okafor, a guy who was a five-star recruit in high school who everybody tried to vie for and get. And Tom Izzo definitely made a strong push to try and acquire Okafor. But Okafor decided to go to, of course, Duke. And you start to see things come full circle now because the kid that Tom Izzo tried to recruit now is the kid who beats Tom Izzo and goes to a national championship. I do believe that there is a recruiting dilemma for Tom Izzo because at the end of the day, again, it's been, what, 15 years since Tom Izzo has won a national championship back in 2000. And you're starting to see guys like a Coach K and a Coach Calipari. You're starting to see those guys. They get to national championship games far more often than Tom Izzo. And I do think that you got to adjust with the times, man, because at the end of the day, I mean, you have to figure out how to attract those 4 to 5 star recruits on a consistent basis, because at the end of the day, that talent, if honed correctly and if developed correctly in a program, can certainly lead to national championships. And I mean, just imagine, I mean, Tom is a guy who certainly knows how to cultivate and hone talent, because look at this year. I mean, with a bunch of guys who many didn't even think would even get past the first weekend of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, goes all the way to the Final Four. Just imagine if Tom Izzo had just 1 5-star recruit. Just imagine if Tom Izzo had a Jahlil Okafor. Yeah, I think we'll be talking about a national championship for Michigan State this year, folks. I think we would. Tom Izzo is that good of a coach. So if you have talent and you have a good coach to harness that talent, man, oh, man, that becomes a very intimidating beast. And Coach K, I mean, you know, Coach K, you know, him having definitely more years in this college basketball coaching game than Tom Izzo. He has more national championships. Actually, today is actually the anniversary of when Duke beat Michigan for the national championship back in 1992, if you remember the Fab Five era. Again, Grant Hill and those guys, you know, Christian Laettner. This is actually the anniversary on this day back in 1992. Duke beat Michigan for a national title. So, I mean, Coach K, I mean, his history goes way, way back. But, I mean, Coach K has found a formula. Coach Cal has found a formula to attract those big, big, big names. Now, again, it's not a shoe-in for you to win a national championship each and every year. But, again, it increases your chances exponentially. I do think if Tom Izzo was able to get those 5-star recruits, he would have more than just one national title to look at right now, folks. I'm just saying. And it's all about the quick ticket. It's all about, you know, when kids look at your program, it's all about what can you do for me lately? After 1 year, can you get me to the NBA? That's what these kids care about. You know, when they're sitting looking at young kids who go in the NBA and make millions of dollars, you know, have the shoe contracts, have the endorsements, can you do that for me? Will your program do that for me? And that becomes, ideally, in many cases, the number one question and the number one thing to weigh when deciding where they want to take their basketball talents. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines really briefly here. We've got my man Mike from Saginaw on line one. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Go to the Hall of Fame, the Indiana High School, anything? Because they really saying that all according to the news and everything, that high school basketball is second to none down in Indiana.
No, of course, we were pretty swamped with Final Four coverage, Mike. I mean, when we weren't at pressers or doing anything of any sorts during the day, as far as Michigan State's team is concerned, we were filming different things for Current Sports TV. But no, I actually, that's enlightening. I did not know that.
Okay, then, because it is big time down there. What do you think, since you've been down there, what do you think about the town?
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, as Alex and I bantered around the beginning of the show, I mean, my goodness. I mean, like I said, Mike, the NCAA knows how to do it up for the Final Four. I mean, there were so many people in the area of downtown Indy, which ideally it's a beautiful, beautiful downtown. I mean, unbelievable. But, I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder. People walking the streets. Bars are open. Music playing. Final Four, you know, branding everywhere. I mean, it was an unbelievable time. It was one of the funnest times I've ever had on the road reporting. It was a fantastic time, Mike.
Okay, what I was going to tell you, is that the only place you went to cover Michigan State at besides Indianapolis? Did you go on the road? Just right offhand, then we'll get into the questions I want to ask.
For the NCAA attorney?
Yeah.
No, we didn't go to New York. We didn't go to Charlotte, North Carolina. We just covered them when they were in, of course, Indianapolis over the weekend.
Let me ask you this. You didn't watch the second game, did you?
Yeah, we were there. We were there sitting front row, actually, when Wisconsin had beaten Kentucky. And we saw Coach Cal up there along with the Harrison twins, Willie Cauley-Stein. We were right there, man.
Well, did you think Wisconsin, with the team they had, do you think they would have beat Kentucky?
Certainly. I did. I actually predicted, if you were rewind the clock to last week, I actually predicted that Wisconsin would beat Kentucky. I got lucky. Stab in the dark. Of course, I said of Kentucky, if they were going to lose throughout the tourney, they would just have to have an off day. you got to give Wisconsin a lot of credit. I think Wisconsin's going to beat Duke tonight, actually, to let the cat out the bag, my early prediction. I think Wisconsin is loaded with a lot of talent. I love Nigel Hayes. They got the National Player of the Year in Frank Kaminsky. Sam Decker, I have kind of a man crush on him. He has been unbelievable throughout the entire NCAA tournament. I mean, on both ends of the floor, not just offensively, but defensively as well. I love that kid. I think Bo Ryan has done an incredible job. I mean, this is the first time Wisconsin has even graced a national championship game, dating all the way back until 1941. I think this team has been underestimated from a national scheme. I think the Big Ten, those that really follow the Big Ten have watched this team all year, know how good of a team Wisconsin has been, even though they were a one seed. So I think the national prospects, I mean, in the committee, really gave them a big, you know, tip of the cap because, you know, they gave them a one seed in the tourney. But from a national scheme of things, I mean, Wisconsin going all the way to the national championship, I mean, how many people really fathom that? I mean, I think this team is very, very talented, Mike.
Do you think that, like, I'm looking at Wisconsin's team, they're not going to get the parade All-Americans, the McDonald's, the five-star recruits like Michigan State do. You think Michigan State, I believe, you know, Matt Costello, he maxed out his talent, and I believe some of the players they got, is they good players. They don't get me wrong, they good players. But, I mean, do they have to go and develop talent when they get there? I mean, they can't just have talent and then they just enhance it and coach them up like they say or whatever. And I think our state, you know, we got a lot of forwards and we produce a lot of guys. But big man, you know, once we get to the college campus, our big man is just not – they've been – I don't know if they just been they haven't played too many big men while they was in high school and other. And also for this state, we don't have like a lot of places have prep schools. They have strong prep school programs all over the country like Oak Hill or those kind of schools or the Catholic League in Michigan. That ain't even strong even in Detroit. You know, you got private schools, a lot of private schools for boys. They send their kids all to these prep schools and everything. And I don't think if Izzo really wants to – I think he's so obsessed with getting to the final game that it might just be wearing on him a little bit. What's your take on it?
No, I think as far as that last point, Mike, I definitely agree. I mean, Tom Izzo is a guy who is one of the most competitive individuals you ever meet in your life. I mean, you can just see his emotion on the sideline throughout a regular season college basketball game, let alone one in the heat of March. And, you know, you can kind of tell, I mean, Mark, you know, Tom, you know, when talking to him right outside the locker room after the game, I mean, you can just kind of see, you know, just kind of the frustration, you know, of being so close. And you heard from him in that bite. I mean, he talked about when he was a grad assistant for Judge.
What he was saying, I just thought of to myself. I said, man, Tom, you got to back up a little bit. Take a vacation. Get away from him.
But he's so upset. I mean, that's what makes Tom Izzo so great.
True.
Because that's what separates the good coaches and great athletes from just the average ones. They obsess over perfection. They obsess over that stuff, man. I mean, you go back to the days of, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, Magic Johnson. Even, I don't know if you saw Kobe Bryant's muse. Kobe Bryant is a guy who was just obsessed with winning and competing. And those are the type of guys who have success in what they do in the world of sports. And Tom Izzo is the same. I mean, Tom has kind of admitted, you know, that he actually sleeps at the Breslin during March. He doesn't even come home. He's prepping all the time. So I think that, you know, again, if Tom Izzo, and again, going back to my rant about, you know, the future for the Michigan State men's basketball program, just imagine if he was able to snag a five-star recruit every single year. I guarantee, I think Tom Izzo would have more than one national title right now, Mike.
But you think about it. Well, the only one person that was one and done in his program and left was Zach Randolph. Mm-hmm. Jason Richardson left after 2 years, but I was thinking a player like Jason Richardson and Brandon Dawson, they similar type players, even though Jason Richardson, when he got to the league, he kind of proved this outside shot. And he was an athlete learning how to play basketball. I think what happened, too, if you look and see, you watch these games closely, it's a lot of great athletes. These guys can run and jump and everything, but, you know, in basketball, you have to learn how to play in within a team concept. And I know that I'm looking in I'm looking like your cities like in Flint and Saginaw, this is where I dwell at, that they do play team. The coaches are pretty good up in Saginaw and in Flint, but if you get to down like in Detroit and stuff, and you're a super athlete, man, you in the ninth grade, you probably being recruited to be on AAU, then you can choose your school to go to, like Country Day.
Mm. Right.
Or schools like that, man. You know, I mean,
the recruiting war, Mike, is
public schools dominate basketball here. Other places, like I was just expressing that, prep schools do a job.
Right. No, you're right. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you look at it again, I think just time. Again, kids want that quick ticket. They want that quick ticket. They want that quick money. So, again, when they look at a program, if they're a highly touted recruit coming out of high school, can you get me to the next level ASAP after my first year, maybe after my second year? Can you do that? And that weighs on heavily when you talk about a recruit. And Michigan State's men's basketball program doesn't have that phenomenal track record in doing that, which I think turns a lot of kids off at the end of the day, Mike.
Think about that, Mike. Kudrowski, he coaches USA basketball. So
right.
He's around looking at.
Yeah, he's got that pro aura.
Go play for the USA basketball.
Yeah, he's got a pro aura already around him because of that connection, as well as he's had a plethora of other players who have gone one and done out of his program.
Yeah, he has.
So, yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for the call.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you, Al.
All right, Alex, before we hear our second break, I want a quick prediction here now on Wisconsin. Well, really briefly, what do you think Michigan State's team will look like for next year? Because I really think that when you look at this core next year, something that really stood out to me when we walked into that locker room was the fact that, first off, Denzel Valentine guaranteed that Michigan State would grace the Final Four next year. Again, Denzel Valentine guaranteed, hey, we'll be back here next year.
Right.
He thinks his team will be back next year. And also, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. being such a leader for this squad. Next year, I think it's pretty evident that Tum Tum and Denzel Valentine are going to be the leaders for this squad.
Yeah, at first glance, my first initial reaction is, oh, you know, they're losing Trice and Dawson. Oh, I don't know about next year. But more when you think about it, Al, Trice to begin with wasn't even a factor and a leader that he is now. So I think out of that group, Valentine, you said Tum Tum, a name to watch, Aaron Harris, who hasn't played at all, not even a game this year. They have a lot of their pieces coming back, and all of their big men that were kind of quote-unquote maybe a weakness this year. They didn't really have a lot of solid big men down low to guard Okafor, to guard Harrell. They're all coming back. They're all going to get stronger. They're all going to have more experience. They're all going to learn not to foul late in situations. I would say that maybe not that they're going to be back next year, but they have a very good chance. They're only losing two players, really, Al.
This team is going to have a lot of talent next year, without a doubt. And also, how about Mr. Basketball, Deontay Davis from Muskegon, who I got a chance to watch him in person against the third runner-up for that award in the Class A quarterfinals. And, man, Deontay Davis is huge. I mean, my gosh, he's got a lot of girth to him. He's got a lot of weight to him. He's going to only get stronger as his years go in college, and I'm looking forward to seeing him next year as well. But, yeah, again, this team has a lot of talent. It's going to be fun to see if this team can get back to the Final Four. But, again, the future does look bright for this squad. But at the end of the day, I mean, as far as competing for national championships, only time will tell. You have to see you have to really look at this thing with a wide lens and look at the entire scheme and entire spectrum of college basketball as well. So, nonetheless, though, successful season for this team. Far performed above anybody's expectations out there. Final Four, I mean, seventh Final Four for Tom Izzo. Yeah, I think you can definitely take a bow, Mr. Izzo. Great year. Great year for you and your kids. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we'll talk about Tigers opening day and bring to you our weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Some MJ on this fantastic Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. It is opening day in the world of baseball. I'm here looking on my Twitter feed right now, also my Facebook page, and there are a lot of people that I know that are down right now, downtown Detroit, Just some enjoying the atmosphere of opening day at local restaurants and bars around the area, and some actually with that ticket to the game. Again, the Detroit Tigers taking on the Minnesota Twins. It's right now in the top of the third. Detroit has a 3-0 lead over the Minnesota Twins. So fantastic start to the year thus far for the Tigers. Right now, I want to actually just kind of preview this Detroit Tigers team with the season now officially starting for this squad. And I want to ask you, Alex, I mean, when looking at this team, of course, and I have flashbacks to when Dave Dombrowski was actually in the Lansing area not too long ago. I got a chance to pick his brain a little bit. He was actually a speaker at the Lansing Regional Chamber Conference. And, this is when they were on their caravan, and he made a stop here to Lansing. And he talked about how the expectations haven't changed. I mean, this team, you know, and Tiger fans alike, you know, expect this team to get to a World Series and not just get there, but to finish the deal and win one. But when looking at this team, I am worried about this squad. I will say that, Alex, because for me, it's all about the Detroit Tigers, one, staying healthy, and two, producing a solid bullpen. And I'm not convinced that the Tigers' bullpen is that much better from last year's. Because going back to the injuries, I mean, again, you got JV out right now. He's on the DL. Hopefully that doesn't become a permanent health question throughout the year. I'm really eager to see Yoenis Cespedes because he had a great spring outing, to be honest with you all. Again, I want to see a healthy Victor Martinez as well. I really think this team has the pieces, but those pieces must stay healthy. And that bullpen has got to be better. It's got to be better at the end of the day.
I totally agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. The only other thing I would add is the consistency all around. I mean, from hitting to pitching, even the starters, Al. Sometimes last year, you never knew what you were going to get someone out of those players. Sometimes, you'd see Avila hit 3-for-3, and then he'd go 0-for-3. So there are too many things, and so far, just in this game alone, Avila already has a 2-run homer. Mm-hmm. Cespedes already has a hit to start off. A lot of those guys that you mentioned are playing well so far. But again, it is the Twins, and that's not a team that probably will finish nearly at the top of the AL this year. So I would say wait until after this series to really start your predictions about where the Tigers will go.
And, you know, I always say throughout a baseball season, it's all about how you're clicking around, you know, before October hits. Because, again, a team can look totally different from the beginning to middle of the year than they look at the later part of the season. But I tell you what, the hitting for this squad is going to be there. When you got guys like Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, JD Martinez, Yoenis Cespedes, I mean, pitchers across the MLB had to be cringing in their cleats.
I mean, you have Iglesias who hit 300 at points hitting ninth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is unbelievable. So the batting is going to be there. But again, you talk about the pitching and the bullpen. I don't know. Can they make the World Series? Sure. I'm going to say sure. I'm not going to say yes or no. Yeah, sure. They can get there. But again, other things have to go right for this squad, health-wise more so, in order for them to make that and build that ticket to a World Series. So we'll see, though. A great start to the season. Again, the Tigers are currently leading the Minnesota Twins 3-0 in the bottom of the third now, folks. Well, each and every Monday here on Current Sports, we love to recap the weekend that was in the sports world and bring you our weekend winners. So, hey, without further ado, let's get that party started.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, folks, well, here we go. Time for Weekend Winners, where we recap the weekend that was in the world of sports and bring to you our weekend winners. So first, you know, this is the cliche start to this segment when looking at the weekend as far as Michigan is concerned. Hats off to Tom Izzo on the Michigan State men's basketball program for one incredible year. Again, getting all the way to the Final Four when many people didn't think that you would even grace the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, let alone the Final Four. an incredible year for Tom Izzo. What he's able to do with these young men each and every year to click in March was truly remarkable. One fantastic year. Number two for me, another weekend winner. How about Paul George, folks? Finally returning after, of course, during that USA Basketball Summer League stint, exhibition game, he falls on the basketball stanchion after trying to block a shot on the other end of the court, ends up breaking his leg, and has now returned for the Indiana Pacers, right really in the thick of things now when you look at the NBA race for the playoffs. So Indiana right now, I tell you what, I mean, they're sitting right outside of the eighth spot, right at nine right now, just in back of the Boston Celtics. It's going to come down to the Celtics, Pacers, Heat, even the Brooklyn Nets. You got like a four-team horse race, and even the Charlotte Hornets. It's like a four- or five-team race right now for that final spot in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be definitely fun to watch, and the Pacers are right in the thick of things. Hey, maybe they got Paul George right at the right time, right? All right, moving on now. Want to shout out also James Harden, who happened to have a big, big weekend. How about James Harden and Russell Westbrook? Both teams going at it. The Houston Rockets actually topped the Oklahoma City Thunder in yesterday's Sunday afternoon finale. And I think James Harden is further solidifying his spot as I think the lead runner right now for the NBA's MVP, excuse me. And also, I mean, hey, Russell Westbrook still, I mean, what he's able to do right now with also Kevin Durant out. My goodness, it's been really fun to watch those two. Both of them put up 40-plus points yesterday, so that was also fun to watch. Also, even though many people feel as though he would not be the same man ever that he was, Tiger Woods is also on my weekend winners list just to see him back just in time for the Masters. Hey, even though Tiger Woods hasn't been the same guy in quite some time now, just to have him out on the golf course and playing is going to spike ratings nonetheless. I'm excited to see my favorite athlete out there playing. And weekend loser, U of M football fans, a 7-0 spring game? What? Are you kidding me? We're going to have more conversation on that on tomorrow's Current Sports. Again, folks, the Detroit Tigers opening day for them. Again, with a 3-0 lead at the end of the third. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic start to your work week, and be easy, people.